And begin our post-race media availabilities. We are now joined by our race-winning crew chief, Rudy Fugel. Rudy, congratulations. You guys started the race strong, finished with a win. Can you talk to us a little bit about your race?
Yeah, no, William did a great restart, and got the lead, I think, after lap one. And we set sail and did well. Ended up getting beat off pit road. Pit stall one had a lot to do with that. Five qualifying on the pole was big for them. We were just outmatched a little bit on pit road through the first couple, never could get it back. So from there, we were tighter in traffic, tried to work on it to make it freer and got way too free in stage three. So we got adjustment in on the green flag pit stop, and we were okay again, just too far behind. So, but 2 weeks in a row, we get that caution, and pit crew did a good job getting us out on the front row, and William did an awesome job. Got a second chance at it, second chance at a restart, and did an amazing job, and we won the race.
Awesome. We'll go ahead and open it for questions. We'll start right over here and then come down to Wolfgang.
Jonathan Field, the Racing Experts, ESPN Radio Albuquerque. Again, it was you and the five out in front today. Without giving out too much, what do you think you guys have hit on that have allowed you to have success?
Yeah, just a little bit of everything. Specifically, 24 team is focused in the simulation program all off season. We worked really hard, especially on Las Vegas and in Phoenix, because they're super important in the playoffs. So we had fresh information. So we ran out Vegas with four to go, and Phoenix, obviously, the last race of the year. You re-race them early in the year, so it makes sense to work on those. Those were most of our focus to start with, and then hope to take notes from these two races to propel ourselves to the first third half of the year.
And we're also joined by Hendrick Motorsports Vice Chairman Jeff Gordon. So if you have any questions for him, please feel free to ask as well.
First, let me just say how proud I am of this guy and this team. Nobody works harder. All these guys work hard, but over the off season, I came into the office one day. It was like, right after Christmas?
Yeah, it was the day after.
Day after Christmas, I was over at the office, and this guy was there all by himself. So I'm so proud of these guys and the effort they're putting in and seeing the results. Sorry, go ahead.
Awesome. Go to Wolfgang.
Wolfgang Monzer from Germany, Rennsport Press. Two questions, one for Jeff.
You're from Germany all these years? No, I'm just kidding.
We saw all day that during the race, that Kyle had a very dominant car. Unfortunately, he couldn't win. So I suppose, like in other motorsport categories, with your crew chief colleagues, you share information, technical information. My question is, how identical are the Hendrick cars among the different drivers?
If you get down to the nitty gritty, the last 15-20% of everything, they're a little bit different, but the main whole, we work together really well. Cliff and I were chatting about what strategy we were going to do. We opened in the chat multiple times if we were going to take four or two, how we were going to do it. So even racing each other against the wind, fully working together, we work together great, all four crew chiefs, all four teams. So then we prepare the cars. We look at each other's cars all week long and make adjustments, and then each driver is a little different. So the last 15-20% is probably
so in principle, if one Hendrick driver is struggling, you take over the setup of another driver. You can't do this
for sure. Yeah, no, definitely. We're able to put most all that stuff in the car. We'd made a lot of changes their direction after Friday's practice for sure. Saturday morning came in and changed geometry and some other things to chase the five because they were a little bit better than us. So yes.
And one question for you, Jeff. Knowing your new position with Hendrick Motorsport, you still have time to do some races from time to time?
If I do, please stop me, because I like to drive. I love to get out there and run laps, but I know I can't be as competitive as what I used to be, so I prefer not to race. But I'm enjoying this challenge, working with these guys, our marketing and PR group, and obviously Rick's been an incredible mentor to me over the years. So on the business side, working with NASCAR and tracks and others in the industry is something I'm dedicating most of my time to these days. And I also have two kids, and so family stuff too. But I did do a race last year that was fun, and I did, and it reminded me why I shouldn't be out there racing. Took all the fun right out of it as soon as I was 2 seconds off the pace.
We're going to go here in the back and then up to Bob.
David Hernandez from Veravision Deportes. Quick question. So you touched on the two-wheel strategy as opposed to the four-wheel strategy. And was this strategy talked about before the race, or was there any at any point during that last yellow that you were saying, hey, we might call an audible and do four wheels, or?
Yeah, no. I mean, as soon as the caution came out, we were chatting. You know, we have a live chat, and we were talking about what we were going to do. So that was having that openness, you know, racing for a win and as teammates is huge and vital. We both, I think, this week I may have swung Cliff one way, and last week he may have swung me a different way, different times. So it's great teamship, teamwork.
And this was also a conversation that you were having actively with William too. Did he have an input on it, or was it just off you?
Yeah, no. We kind of tell him the, you know, what the code word we think we're going to use for there, and make sure that he's not totally against it. But we see a whole lot more of the race than he does, you know, and we have a whole lot more of the history, you know. So, yeah.
We're going to go to Bob and Cameron and Lee and John.
Bob Parker's Fox Sports for Jeff and Rudy, if you want to take it as well. So you have a little bit of the drama on Friday with them taking the pieces. So do you consider like winning a race on a weekend where you have maybe a little bit of distraction a more of an accomplishment, or it's just that totally kind of separate and not really in your head at all?
You're looking at me, Bob. He won the race. I'll let him answer first.
Yeah, I mean, we have to it's a test in mental strength, and that's just what it takes to be really good in the series. So we have to, you know, think about what the task is, you know, and we have to focus on this weekend. So that's what we all did.
Yeah, I just say, you know, I was proud of these guys to go. I mean, this organization has a lot of depth. They've been through a lot of different experiences over the years, and you know, to lean on those in the you know, in different positions or leadership or crew chiefs that have been around so much, you know, whether you're a young guy on a team or somebody's been around, it's nice to know you can lean on one another through you know, times like that. But I'm probably most proud of these guys went through that, and then they went out there, and you know, we had the pole third. You know, the other two guys, you know, were fast. They just slipped up a little bit, but all four cars in the top 10 today. I think that, you know, really solidified, you know, some of the hype and the things that were being focused on Friday, that you know, these guys have speed in the car, and there was nothing, not last week, not this week, that was, you know, getting them to victory lane other than a lot of hard work and great teamwork.
Well, good, Cameron.
Cameron Richardson, NASCAR.com. My question's for both of you. Maybe the consensus over the last few years is that Byron's maybe the third or fourth guy on the team, but for him to start the season with two wins, you know, does that go to show that, yeah, he can carry the banner for Hendrick Motorsports? And what do you guys see in Byron that maybe you don't see in some of the other drivers?
We have four capable teams and four capable drivers of carrying the banner any weekend. It's pretty amazing. You know, we see it in different phases, you know, but, you know, in different things affect, you know, race outcomes sometimes, you know, and the way certain drivers race and what they're good at and good at qualifying or not and that kind of stuff. So, you know, but you know, week in and week out, we see it. We have four capable drivers, four capable teams. So that's amazing, you know. But and then William, he's the guy that he has gotten here mostly by being one of the, you know, the best at preparing during the week, you know, and then you add the experience that he's starting to get over and over and over now, and you'll see, you know, the fruits of all of his hard work paying off. So that's what I'm super proud of him for.
Yeah, and I'll just add to that, you know, it's really, and I, you know, you can look at other driver crew chief combinations and teams over the years at Hendrick, but it, to me, it's especially in perspective I have now, it's just really great to see a team mature, a team grow, a team evolve, and you see all the things that they're doing behind the scenes to get there. They didn't just show up at the racetrack and all of a sudden, bam, they clicked on it. These guys have had to work really hard to get there, and I just see a progression with William ever since he came to Hendrick. I mean, you got to remember how young he was, you know, coming in the Cup Series, so much to learn, and even young in racing in so many ways. And then when you know, Rudy came to Hendrick, the instant connection and chemistry between these two was so obvious, and it just took the whole team up to another notch. And I think now they're just building on that. So it's you know, it's a lot of fun to watch and see.
We'll go to Lee and then to John and then to Dustin.
I've got two quick questions for you, Champ. First of all, Bowman scoring 4 consecutive top tens. You have to be happy with the consistency you're seeing there.
100%. You know, and there's another, you know, Blake Harris coming on board and, you know, a new combination driver crew chief, and to see them click as early on as they have. And I think one of the reasons why, you know, that worked and you know, kind of came to was because the confidence both Alex had in Blake and Blake had in Alex. And so, you know, it's nice to see that it's paying off for them on the racetrack.
And then Josh Berry, you were the first guy up to his car after he finished. And Alan said after his stage 2, I can see things turning around. You're really gaining on it. What have you seen? You know, just it's a tough situation for him to be in, first of all, but just to be able to step in his second start in a Hendrick car and get a top 10 is pretty solid.
Oh, I'm really impressed with today's effort. And I was on the 9 box most of the race, and it didn't start off so great. And so to see them just continue to work, you know, through changes on the car, changes of the track conditions, and just continue to push forward. And then, you know, he was mixing it up, man. And on those restarts, he was right in the middle, 3 and 4 wide. And I was a little bit nervous, you know, because they're pretty deep in points and needed a solid finish. And it was great to see Josh, you know, get that. And that's going to build his confidence. I mean, I don't think anybody can explain how difficult a situation this is. I mean, an Xfinity car today could not be more opposite than what the Cup car is throughout, you know, the history that I can recall of those things being so different than they are today. So to get out of an Xfinity car and then hop into a Cup car that's so different, I think is a big, tall task. We put him in a bad situation last week. But this week, I saw him putting in the effort and the time, the sim, and with the team, getting fitted in the seat and just, you know, doing his homework, and it really showed up.
Go ahead, John.
John Haverman with the Circuit Journal. For Jeff, I just want to ask, what was the process like in deciding to have Josh in the car and then also having your buddy Rodney Sandstorm at COTA? What was that process like? Like, who approached who about that?
Well, I think Jeff Andrews touched on this week. You know, we always, and not always, but I think maybe this really started a few years ago, where you kind of, you know, have to have a backup plan, because, you know, and it sort of started with COVID, but it's continued on since then of if something were to happen, a driver could get sick, a driver could get injured, that you have something in place that can happen immediately. Because we've gone, you know, down the path of not having a game plan, and it's really difficult to find somebody. Sometimes they're on their way home. They've already left the racetrack. You never know what it is. So, you know, have a relationship with JRM and with, you know, their drivers, and having a backup plan in place. You know, I think for I don't know that Josh has ever really gotten an opportunity with Hendrick before. So, you know, that was a team decision, I think a lot driven by Alan and who he thought would fit in with their team and personality wise. And, you know, I think they're making the right decision. As far as the road course, I think the road course just opened up the door for, you know, should we look at, you know, an option that is sort of a road racing option. And, you know, we feel confident in Josh and want to keep Josh in the car, you know, as much as possible. But, we also, you know, had seen, I race with Jordan Taylor, and he's very talented, and, you know, he's been in our Garage 56 car showing a lot of speed. And so, you know, just the right timing and place to be able to pull that off.
Go ahead, Dustin.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports, one for Rudy, one for Jeff. Rudy, how much of a threat did you guys consider Harvick even on Friday? I know talking with Rodney, he kind of felt good and said, look, everybody's talking about the Hendrick cars, but if you looked at what happened in practice, latter part, you know, and he said, I like not being the focus.
Yeah, I mean, we recognized him right away. I thought it was, I mean, we were doing all our comparing to the 4 and the 5. So, you know, he might not have felt it, or people might not have been talking about him, but we knew. We were watching. So, and just, I just felt like this was going to be his kind of race, right? If you looked at that long green flag run in stage 3, you know, it's with no downforce. It was a bunch of dirt racers, Harvick wrapping the bottom, and William being disciplined. Yeah, you know, wrapping the bottom. So, you know, the discipline, you know, for running and being really good, which, you know, Kevin's amazing at, you know, and then a bunch of guys that aren't afraid to you know, slip and slide and figure out where the grip's at. So, yeah, they did great. They've been good this year, so we're gonna have to contend with them a lot.
And Jeff, just how much of a concern is having parts taken, just even if it's for further evaluation, especially in this era where, because of the single supplier issue, that the penalties can be significantly more severe than maybe years past?
I can tell you it was weighing on all of our minds, you know, coming into today, and certainly will continue. I mean, we had some conversations, we'll continue to have conversations with NASCAR. You know, this is, every situation is sort of unique, but this one is a more unique one than I've seen in a while, where there's been a lot of communication back and forth on this particular part, especially for this racetrack, you know, because they did a parity test in the wind tunnel. And so I think it really opened up the door for some miscommunication. And, you know, I don't want to go into any further than that, but, you know, we'll continue to just share all the facts and be transparent with NASCAR as we have so far.
Are there any questions in the press box?
No questions. Thank you.
All right. We'll take one more question down here to the right for Jeff and Rudy, and we will let them go after that.
Brendan Martin, the Lumberjack. This one's for both of you guys, William and Rudy. It's the second year in a row that this 24 team is the first team with multiple wins. Last year, you got that second win in Martinsville. Now this year, much earlier in the season, you get it done at Phoenix. Just how important is it for you guys, especially now stacking up playoff points that are so important later on in the year, how important is it to sort of get this early start, and what can you do to sort of keep this consistency going further down the line this season?
Yeah, I think you got to get the wins while you're hot. You know, you got to capitalize, and we've done that. So super, super good. You know, our focus is nothing different now. You know, hit the reset button, and how do we do it again? You know, so put the hard work in, do the, you know, and every single day, and keep grinding. So that's our focus.
Yeah, I mean, I think last year, even though we won early, we didn't really know the car or understand the car. So we were kind of just adapting to what we had, and we were just making the most of, you know, an unpredictable situation with the entire field. Like, everyone was, you know, there was a lot of attrition in the races and a lot of just weird things that were happening. And I feel like now it's strength on strength, and it feels different. It feels like we're more consistently towards the front, and we're leading laps, and we just want to focus on our processes during the week. I think our processes this week were kind of frustrating because we didn't really get to do the things we wanted to do, and everyone was a little tired, and we did that Charlotte test, and there was just a lot going on the outside. So it was a little frustrating going into today, but it's cool to see that we can, you know, overcome those things and still get a win.
Jeff and Rudy, thank you. Congratulations. William, we'll go ahead and continue questions with you. We'll go ahead and start in the back.
William, Chance Lancaster, Amarillo Motorsports Power Hour. We're over here. Sorry. What does it mean to you to continue to put the 24 in victory lane and carry that legacy on? It's win number two. Just a question.
Yeah. I mean, when I first started out, it was a lot of pressure. You know, going into my rookie year with not having any cup starts, and I don't think you really understand the magnitude of that shift. You know, I think everyone prepares you for it from going from Xfinity to Cup, but the level that this is just, it's so different, so many details that go into it. So that was a lot of pressure, but I think once we got a win under our belt and once we kind of got some consistency going, you stop thinking about that and you start thinking about, okay, how can we just build this team into something that we want long term. So I think it's just cool to have a group of guys around me that we've really built from the ground up with Chad, and then when Rudy took over, is, you know, brought a couple more people in that I was really comfortable with and trusted, like my spotter, and you know, it's just been a good progression.
We'll come down here to Lee and then right here in the front.
Can you just give us your assessment of the new car and, you know, how you felt it changed over last season?
New well, like, aero package?
Aero package.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was really difficult to drive. I don't, like, from an objective standpoint, I know we were competitive, but, like, I didn't think we could pass any better. So there's still some work to do there with something going on just with how tight they get in traffic. But I think, I mean, yeah, they were certainly hard to drive. I think that's a good test to see who's the, you know, the best out there. I mean, Kyle's probably the most naturally talented, and I think that it, you know, it just shows, like, the guys were having to drive their cars and manage that, and it made for a really difficult challenge inside the race car, just how many times I slipped and how much slip was too much and, you know, how much was enough to keep going fast. So that was a good challenge. It kind of put it, I think, put our car control on display.
And can you take me through that last restart? You were on the high lane, and just all of a sudden it just seemed to thrust forward. Did you get a good push from Reddick, or did you feel unstable when he got into the back of you? Can you kind of just talk a little bit about
that? Yeah, we so the restart, the launch went well for me. Like, I had a really good launch, no wheel spin. And at that point, I was just focusing, okay, how can I get through the gears? How can I side draft Kyle? So when they all pull down to the apron, the outside guy's a bit of a disadvantage because of the distance. So just trying to stay as close as I could there. And then it's just who can beat each other to the corner without hitting the wall. So, I mean, we both got in there deep, and we both were up the track. And he helped, you know, he helped me really tight there, you know, through the middle one and two and off of two. And there was just enough grip up there. And I think I was just far enough up on him that I was able to stay in it. And then we were obviously dragged back. And so I got that big push from Tyler down the backstretch. So that was huge. I mean, he drilled me, but it was, I mean, we're not going that fast. So it was nice. And that kind of got me out in some clean air.
Mm-hmm. David Brandt from the Associated Press. You've won two races now in remarkably similar fashion. I mean, was it weird going through that? Did it feel like deja vu out there? Or what?
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't counting my blessings. I was kind of like, man, it went so good last week, I'm probably going to end up crashing here. So just, you know, when you have that level of commitment, and you know you have to on a green white checkered to come out the other side, it's either gonna go really good or not. So I don't love winning races that way. It's very stressful. It's a lot of tactics, you know, going on with the restarts, but yeah, it's fun. I mean, it's a good challenge for us because you're all tired and you're all into that long run mode mentally, and then you have to have a pit stop and you have to somehow reset and get into, okay, how do I get a good restart?
We'll go to Jonathan, and then a Wolfgang.
Jonathan Vail, the Racing Experts, ESPN Radio Albuquerque. First of all, welcome back. Second of all, looking ahead to November, what were some things you learned today just that will benefit you in November?
I mean, the cars are going to change a tremendous amount, so I think that I kind of keep in the back of my mind. But as far as the balance goes, I thought we had the balance really good to start the race. I was sliding around a lot, but seemed to be sliding less than everybody else. And then just when I got back in second, the dirty air is so significant. Like, I just started to get tight. And so I started to contribute my issues to that. And then we just got the back out of the track. And then we had to try something to try to close that gap. But it just seemed like there was kind of a bubble there. And, you know, as soon as I was kind of hung up in second, I just focused on trying to be consistent. Maybe we'd get to lap traffic and something would happen. And, you know, just, I think overall throughout the race, there's still some work to do myself to just know what I need. And then also managing the car, like the brakes were kind of hot. And, I did a lot throughout the race messing with the brakes, and I just got them too hot doing some stuff. So just need to work on some of those technique things.
We'll go to Wolfgang and then to Bob.
Wolfgang Monser, Rennsport Press from Germany. You just said earlier the car is difficult to was difficult to drive with the new aero package. Mm-hmm. I think that's for everybody in the NASCAR Cup Series. Is there a possibility you go maybe and have a meeting with a NASCAR technical department to make improvements or to launch proposals to make the car better?
For sure. I mean, we have meetings almost every weekend, and that's been a big thing since probably the middle of last year. We've started having meetings with NASCAR, and it's been really productive. So, I definitely think we need to kind of objectively look at, was this a better race or not? You know, that's really what it comes down to. And from my standpoint, it tests me a lot more, but there's still some element that we got to figure out with the, you know, how tight the cars are. So I think, we'll keep working through that. And I'm open to anything. You know, I just want us to have options as drivers. You know, I want it to be hard to drive, but I also want to be able to pass.
But from the regulation point of view, you cannot touch the aero package. You must accept it like this.
I don't know. I just kind of see what they bring to the track and adapt that week. But yeah.
We'll go to Bob and then to Cameron.
Bob Pockers, Fox Sports. Was there much of a concern that you and Larson were going to wreck each other there on the last restart?
Yeah, I mean, in my situation, having a win and him not having a win yet, like I assumed he would be more aggressive. But my counter to that was, all right, I got a win. I'm gonna, you know, do whatever I can do. So it was kind of like it was a game of chicken a little bit. So yeah, I mean, I have a lot of trust in Kyle. He's an amazing driver, and we've gotten to know each other off the track. I feel like we always communicate well. So yeah, I mean, I don't know how to answer that. I wasn't really thinking through that situation. I was just kind of going wherever he was and trying to be a little bit better.
Cameron Richardson, NASCAR.com. William, I asked Rudy and Jeff about, you know, everyone in the Hendrick camp seems capable of carrying the banner. You know, you, Bowman, Elliott, and Larson. But, you know, maybe consensus in the past was that you were maybe the third or fourth guy because Elliott and Larson both won championships. But as the years go on, as you continue to mature, you know, you believe in that you're capable of carrying that banner, you know, and to start this year with two wins, you know, it's got to be some validation that, you know, you are maturing. And
yeah. Yeah, I think, the people around me have always kind of helped me understand that I'm young. You know, my Max and my dad and just everyone, you know, my dad especially, he's a big stats guy. So he's always looking at, you know, he's like, man, you're young. Like, just give it some time. And I'm very impatient. So I like things to happen quick. So that's how it happened for me, you know, coming up through. But this level is so different and took a lot of homework, you know, like a lot of details and really, you know, I think the fact that I started later than most driving was a little bit of it took some time to bridge that gap at this level. Now that gap is bridged, obviously, but yeah, I just feel like it's a constant, like, evolution and just trying to continue to get better.
Are there any questions in the press box? Any last questions down here? Over here to the right.
Hi, William. Michael Manny of the Lumberjack. So you ran pretty much with Larson 1-2 all week in Vegas last week, a lot of today as well. Two wins to start the year. What does that do for your team's momentum and then just for your confidence heading into Atlanta and then the rest of the first half of the year?
Yeah, I mean, I think Cliff and Rudy work really well together. So I think that's, you know, all the crew chiefs do, but Cliff and Rudy sit next to each other, you know, in the meetings. They spend a lot of time and they kind of came in the Cup Series at the same time. You know, Cliff had 1 year on Rudy, but they kind of came in with a new driver, you know, new situation. So I feel like they get along really well. They're very different, but I feel like there's some camaraderie there. And so it's not a surprise that we're both running well. I wouldn't be surprised either, though, if all four of us were running well. Everyone communicates really well. So I think in some ways Kyle and I's driving style, maybe I try to adapt to whatever the setup is, and I think he kind of does the same.
Are there any final questions?